Red Brick Media. High-quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيد خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. From what I can remember, the hadith that we finished at or we stopped at previously was hadith number 568 according to the numbering that I have, and that is Abu Dhar. Okay, so we'll do the one before that and then inshallah we'll carry on. So the one before the hadith number 568, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says, وَعَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَصُومُ حَتَّى نَقُولَ لَا يُفْطِرُ وَيُفْطِرُ حَتَّى نَقُولَ لَا يَصُومُ وما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استكمل صيام شهر قط إلا رمضان وما رأيته في شهر أكثر منه صياما في شعبان متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. On the authority of our mother Aisha رضي الله عنها, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would fast until we would say that he never stops fasting, and then he would stop fasting until we would say that he doesn't fast. And I never saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed a month of fasting except Ramadan, nor did I see him fast more in a month than in the month of Sha'ban. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and this wording is the hadith of Imam Muslim. So previously where we had left off was we had discussed a number of issues concerning Siyam and fasting, and we are now in the chapter of the voluntary and recommended fasting, and also the fasting which is prohibited in Islam. So this hadith of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not only fast in the month of Ramadan, but he would fast voluntary a lot. He would make a lot of recommended and extra fasting. And if it was easy for him to fast, he would fast a lot. And if it was difficult for him to fast, he would stop fasting. And this basically goes to show the principle in Islam that the rulings and the Sharia of Islam doesn't make it difficult upon people. In the recommended and voluntary acts, you fast if you're able to fast and when it's easy for you to fast. And if you find that it's too difficult, or if by fasting you can't perform more important, more obligatory deeds, then you don't fast. And so for example, in the winter months when the days are short, the nights are long, and it's easy to fast, the fast is very short, then a person fasts as much as they can. Perhaps in the summer months, when the days are very long, as they are now, then a person, if they find it difficult, they fast less. And this is what Aisha radiallahu anha is saying, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sometimes fast so much that the people would say that he's always fasting. And then at other times, he wouldn't fast at all. So the people would say that he never fasts, meaning voluntarily. And this again shows the balance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had between the two issues. Then she also mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never completed a month of fasting except the month of Ramadan. So this is one of the special virtues of Ramadan, that Ramadan you fast the entire month, whether it's 29 or 30 days. No other month has this special attribute that you fast all of it. So it's not allowed to fast all of Muharram or all of Safar, or all of Rabi'ul Awwal, or all of Shawwal or Sha'ban, or any other month in the Islamic calendar. And then she also mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. Outside of Ramadan, the month that he would fast the most in was the month of Sha'ban. And so some of the scholars said that this was in preparation for Ramadan. He would train his body, he would exercise his body, and he would prepare himself for the oncoming month of Ramadan. But even in Sha'ban, he wouldn't complete the month. So he wouldn't fast the whole month of Sha'ban, but he would fast a lot of the month of Sha'ban. And this is important, this issue of fasting in the month of Sha'ban, because Ibn Hajar rahimahullah will bring another hadith after a short while, which will speak about fasting in the month of Sha'ban as well. So the next hadith, hadith number 569, وعن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نصوم من الشهر ثلاثة أيام ثلاث عشرة وأربع عشرة وخمس عشرة رواه النسائي والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. And the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to fast from every month 3 days, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And this is collected by An-Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi, and it is authenticated by Ibn Hibban. These 3 days that are mentioned in this hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, they are three voluntary fasts that a person should perform. So when it comes to the voluntary fasts, you have fasts that are voluntary and recommended for you to make throughout the whole year. So you just do them once a year. Like for example, fasting on the day of Arafah. Like for example, fasting on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura. These are days that you just have once a year. You fast them once a year. There are other days that you fast every month that are recommended. We're talking about the recommended fasts. And those fasts that are recommended every month are like fasts like these. The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And we're obviously talking about the lunar calendar, the Islamic month, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then you have other fasts, it is recommended to make them every week. Like for example, Mondays and Thursdays. And then there are other fasts for those people who wish to do even more, and that is that you fast one day on, one day off, and that is the fast of the Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, and that is the best type of fasting, meaning that there is no more fasting that you can do than this. So you complete the month of Ramadan, and throughout the rest of the year, you do one day on, one day off. You fast one day, and you miss a day. So in this hadith now, we're speaking about fasting on a monthly scale. And that is that there are three recommended fasts for every month. The 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And these in the Arabic language are known as Ayyamul Bidh. Ayyamul Bidh, which basically in English, the direct translation would be the white days. The white days. Why? Because on the 13th, 14th, 15th, this is when you get the full moon. So the full moon becomes apparent on the 13th night, the 14th, and the 15th. And because of the whiteness, the illumination, the light of the moon, when it is full, it is called the white days, Ayyamul Bidh. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recommend fasting these 3 days. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever fasts 3 days of every month, it is as if they have fasted the whole year. And that's because the minimum that every day or every good deed is multiplied is 10. So if you fast 3 days, you multiply that by 3, that's 30 days. So it's like you fasted the whole month in terms of reward. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also similar to this, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised me with 3 things that I should never leave. And one of the things that he mentions is Ayyamul Bidh, fasting these 3 days. So to fast the 13th, the 14th, the 15th of every Islamic month, it is one of the greatest deeds in Islam, and it is also one of the best type of voluntary fasts that a person can perform. In the next hadith, hadith number 570, وَعَنَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ لَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَنْ تَصُومَ وَزَوْجُهَا شَاهِدٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري زاد أبو داود غير رمضان. And the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a woman to fast in the presence of her husband except with her permission. And this is collected in al-Bukhari and Muslim and the wordings of al-Bukhari and in the narration of Abu Dawood other than the month of Ramadan. In this hadith, there is a very important principle, and that is that we make a differentiation between the obligatory acts and the recommended acts. So in the narration of Abu Dawood radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, other than the month of Ramadan. So in the month of Ramadan is an obligatory fast on every Muslim. So you don't need to seek permission. So a person doesn't have to go and seek the permission of their father or their mother or their husband or their wife or anyone else. It is obligatory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone has to fast that day. The issue comes now in recommended or voluntary fasts. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that when it comes to the woman, she should seek permission, the wife should seek permission from her husband when she wants to fast a voluntary fast. Why? Because he may want to do something else, which he won't be able to do if she is fasting. And the right of the husband is an obligation. Whereas fasting a voluntary day is only permissible. There is voluntary, is recommended. And an obligation takes precedence over a recommended act. And so this is basically an issue of prioritizing. And so therefore she seeks her husband's permission. And if she gets the permission, she fasts. And if she doesn't get the permission, then inshallah she is rewarded for her intention. So she has the intention that she would have fasted had she been able to. And inshallah, Allah will reward her for that intention and he will write down for her as if she had fasted. Also for the husband, it is important to note as well that if, you know, just to use this as an excuse not to let her fast because she has to seek permission, this is also incorrect. So if the woman or the wife, she wants to come closer to Allah, she wants to worship Allah, she wants to fast this day, and the husband just says no for no reason, no particular reason, he just wants to exert his authority, then this is a sin as well, and he would be blameworthy for this. The next hadith, hadith number 571, وَعَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى عَنْ صِيَامِ يَوْمٍ يَوْمِ الْفِطْرِ وَيَوْمِ النَّحْرِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade fasting 2 days, the day of Eid al-Fitr and the day of Eid al-Nahr. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. So now Ibn Hajr rahimahullah is going to bring a number of ahadith that speak about the fasts that are impermissible. So we said that fasting is of a number of types in Islam. Number one is the fasting which is obligatory. And that is like, for example, fasting the month of Ramadan, fasting for expiation, fasting because of a person taking an oath. Then you have the second category of fasting, which is the recommended type of fasting. Like fasting the day of Arafah, the day of Ashura, Mondays and Thursdays, the Ayyamul Bidh, and so on. Then you have the third category of fasting, and that is the prohibited type of fasting, where it's not allowed for a person to fast during that time or on that day. It's not allowed for a person to fast. So this is the first hadith that Ibn Hajr rahimahullah brings, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade us to fast on the days of Eid. Now we only have 2 Eids in Islam. Eid al-Fitr, which comes after Ramadan, and Eid al-Nahr, which is Eid al-Adha, which comes in the days of Hajj in Dhul Hijjah. So you have the first of Shawwal, which is the day of Eid al-Fitr, and then the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Eid al-Adha. It is forbidden to fast both of these days. Why? Because these are days of celebration, the days of eating and drinking and happiness. And so the Prophet ﷺ forbade fasting on these days. And so it's not allowed for a person to fast on the day of Eid al-Fitr, nor on the day of Eid al-Adha, and Allah knows best. The next two ahadith, hadith number 572, وَعَنْ نُبَيْشَةَ الْهُذَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله عز وجل رواه مسلم. الحديث number 573 وعائشة وابن عمر رضي الله عنهم قال لم يرخص في أيام التشريق أن يصمن إلا لمن لم يجد الهدي رواه البخاري. So we have two ahadith which speak about the same issue. The first is the hadith of Nubayshat al-Hudhali radiyallahu an, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the days of Tashriq are days of eating and drinking and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is collected in Sahih Muslim. And in hadith number 573, on the authority of Aisha and Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum, both of whom said that it is not allowed for anyone to fast on the days of Tashriq except for those people who couldn't find a sacrifice. This is another type of prohibited fasting. And this refers to the people who are making Hajj. So the people who are making Hajj, on the day of Eid, they can't fast anyway. And that is the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Then the next days, 11, 12 and 13 of Dhul Hijjah, are known as Ayyam al-Tashriq, the days of Tashriq, and these are the 3 days where the pilgrim will stay in Mina, and each day they'll go and they'll stone the 3 pillars. These are the days of Tashriq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the days of Tashriq are days of eating, drinking and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically meaning that you shouldn't fast on these days. They're not days of fasting, but the days of remembering Allah, enjoying yourself, celebrating the days of Eid, eating and drinking. And that same rule also goes and applies to those people who are making Hajj. For the Eid of Al-Adha is not just the first day, but it is the 3 days that follow it as well. And that's why it's allowed for a person who wants to sacrifice, if they can't sacrifice on the first day of Eid, they can sacrifice on the next day, or the day after, on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. And so likewise, for the person making Hajj, it is also not allowed to fast. So on these days, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they eat and they drink. In the next narration of Aisha ibn Umar, there is an exception to this rule. And that exception to this rule is for those people who can't find a sacrifice. Now, without going into the details of Hajj too much, there are three different types of Hajj: Tamattu', Ifrad, and Qiran. For two of them, Tamattu' and Qiran, the pilgrim has to offer a sacrifice. That is part of the rites of Hajj, that you sacrifice a sheep or a goat or whatever you wish to sacrifice. You sacrifice an animal and you give this animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the rites of Hajj. Now imagine if someone is making Tamattu' Hajj or Qiran Hajj and they can't find a sacrifice. Either they can't afford it, or in the olden days, people used to take an animal with them, because you didn't have slaughterhouses, you didn't have abattoirs. People would buy the animals and they would bring it with them from their countries, and then they would sacrifice it in Mecca or in Mina. So if you can't find an animal, or you can't afford an animal, or it's too expensive, yet you're making Tamattu' or Qiran, now you can't perform one of the rites of Hajj. Now when you can't perform one of the rites of Hajj, there is an expiation. Just like, for example, a person who doesn't fast, there is an expiation. They make up that day another time. Likewise, for this person who doesn't have the ability to give a sacrifice, there is an expiation. That expiation is that they fast 10 days. They fast 10 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. 3 of those days of fasting must be done in the days of Hajj. 7 of them when you return back to your home, those are 10 complete days. This is the expiation for the person who can't give a sacrifice. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, or Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, 3 of those days have to be in the days of Hajj. Now you can't fast on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, because the sacrifice isn't due yet. You can't fast on the 10th, the day of Eid, even though the sacrifice is due, because that is the day of celebration. So all you have remaining of the days of Hajj are the 11, 12 and 13, the Iyam al-Tashriq. And so the scholars say an exception, as is mentioned here by Aisha and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, and other scholars as well, that this is the exception to the rule. If a person making Tamattu' Hajj or Qiran Hajj can't find a sacrifice, they can't offer a sacrifice, the expiation is that they fast 10 days, 3 of those days in Hajj, 7 when they return home, completing 10 days, and those 3 days that they fast in Hajj are the days of Tashriq, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, and Allah knows best. The next two hadith also we'll take together. Hadith number 574, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي ولا تخصوا يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم رواه مسلم. And hadith number 575, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده. متفق عليه. And the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't make the night of Jumu'ah, the night of Friday, special by performing prayer on that night instead of other nights. Nor make the day of Friday special by fasting on that day instead of other days, unless it is one of your habits and customs to fast on that day. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. And in the next hadith on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not fast on the day of Friday unless you fast a day before or a day after. And this is collected also by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So in this hadith also we have another prohibition of fasting, and that is fasting the day of Friday. Why the day of Friday? Because the day of Friday is the day of Eid. It is the weekly celebration. And that's why in the day of Friday you have the Jummah khutbah. And as is mentioned in the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Friday is the best of days. That is the day that Allah created Adam. It is the day that Adam entered into Jannah. It is the day that Adam descended. He was taken out of Jannah. And it is the day that Yawmul Qiyamah will be established. So Friday is the best of days. And that is the weekly celebration. It is the weekly Eid. It is the weekly time where the Muslims gather and congregate to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that sense, it is similar to an Eid. And therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade a person from fasting on the day of Friday, unless it is the custom of a person to do so. What does that mean? For example, the 11th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the month fall on a Friday. So Ayyamul Bidh, those 3 days, the middle days of a month that a person normally fasts, one of them happens to fall on a Friday. Or for example, a person fasts one day and they miss one day, like the fast of Dawood alayhi salam. Then know that sooner or later, one of those days of fasting will fall on a Friday. And so therefore a person can fast on that Friday, based upon this hadith. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, unless it is a fast that you would normally do. And that's why in the month of Ramadan also you fast on Fridays, because it is something which you are required to do. In the next hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't fast on that day unless you fast a day before or a day after. So for example, if a person was going to fast the 6 days of Shawwal, so you finished the month of Ramadan and now you want to fast the 6 days of Shawwal. You have a month to fast those 6 days. And you don't have to fast all six together. You can do one day, then miss a few, then do another day, then miss a few, and so on. If one of those days that you want to fast happen to be on a Friday, because it's not your normal practice to fast on that day, you're just doing it because of Shawwal, then you would fast either the Thursday with the Friday or the Saturday with the Friday. And therefore you don't make Friday special. And that's why in the hadith, the first hadith that I narrated to you, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make the night of Friday special by doing an extra act of worship that you wouldn't normally do. Or the day of Friday special by fasting when you wouldn't normally fast. So what that means is on Friday, if you don't normally pray Qiyamul Layl, just to do it on that night simply because it is a Friday is incorrect. Likewise, to fast on that day simply because it's a Friday, it is also incorrect, and this isn't supported by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 576. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا رواه الخمسة واستنكره أحمد. And the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if half of the month of Sha'ban passes, then don't fast. And this is collected by the five. But Imam Ahmad said that it is weak and he rejected it. This hadith, the scholars of Islam have differed over concerning its authenticity or lack thereof. And so some of the scholars said that it is authentic, that it is an authentic hadith. And therefore, they apply this hadith and they go by this hadith. And what this hadith is saying is that if the half of the month of Sha'ban passes by, then don't fast. So after the 15th of Sha'ban, don't fast. Unless it is your custom to fast. So like that person who would normally fast one day on, one day off, or a person who normally fasts Mondays and Thursdays, for them they can continue to fast. But they don't fast otherwise. So just to start fasting after half of the month of Sha'ban passes, when you don't normally fast at all, that is incorrect. This is according to those scholars who say that the hadith is authentic. Other scholars such as Imam Ahmad and many other scholars, they said that the hadith is weak. Why is it weak? Because of two things. Number one, because of the hadith that we said previously, when I asked you to remember that portion of the first hadith that we took today, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't fast a complete month except Ramadan, and he would fast the most in Sha'ban. So outside of Ramadan, he would fast the most in Sha'ban. So that shows that he fasted for a lot of that month, which means that he didn't just stop halfway, but he fasted for most of that month. He fasted for a lot of the month of Sha'ban. That's one reason. The other reason that the scholars said that this hadith is weak is because it also contradicts another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ forbade people from fasting the day or 2 days before Ramadan. And we took this at the beginning of the book of fasting, when he was speaking about how to do moon sighting and how you start the month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ forbade someone from fasting the day before Ramadan or 2 days before Ramadan. And they are known as Ayyamul Shak, the days of doubt. Why? Because a person fasts those days just in case. Just to be on the safe side, just in case the moon came out and no one saw it. Or just in case Ramadan actually began the day before, but no one saw the moon. And so to be on the safe side, people fast a day or two early. Just to be safe. This is incorrect, and the Prophet ﷺ forbade it. And it is known as Yawm al-Shak, the day of doubt. So that hadith clearly mentions that it's only the day before or 2 days before Ramadan. And it doesn't speak about the rest of the days of Sha'ban before that, which shows that it's allowed for a person also to fast after half of Sha'ban passes by. And so these scholars said that it is incorrect for those two reasons, and the hadith is weak, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next hadith, hadith number 577, وعن الصماء بنت بصر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم فإن لم يجد أحدكم إلا لحاء عنب أو عود شجرة فليمضغها رواه الخمسة ورجاله ثقات إلا أنه مضطرب وقد أنكره مالك وقال أبو داود هو منسوخ. And the authority of صماء بنت بصر رضي الله عنها that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't fast the day of Saturday except for that which has been made obligatory upon you, even if it means that one of you has to suck the twine of a or the root of a tree. And this is collected by the five, and all of its narrators are authentic, they are trustworthy, except that some of the scholars such as Imam Malik said it is weak, and Abu Dawood said it is abrogated. This hadith is an authentic hadith. So the scholars of hadith have made it authentic, including Imam Ahmad and many of the scholars of hadith. And basically in this hadith, similar to the previous hadith of Fridays, again the Prophet ﷺ prohibited people from fasting on Saturday. Why? Because it is the weekly celebration of the Jews. That is the day of the Sabbath. That is their special day. And so the Muslim doesn't make it special as well by fasting this day on its own. However, as with the day of Friday, if a person was to fast the day before, like a Friday, or the day after, a Sunday, then it would be allowed. And the prohibition in this hadith is very stern, because the Prophet ﷺ said, don't fast on this day, even if it means that you have to suck the grape twine or the root of a tree. Meaning, whatever you need to do to break your fast on this day, then do it. Don't fast just on this day, don't make this day special in terms of fasting, and Allah knows best. The next hadith, hadith number 578, وعن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أكثر ما يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد وكان يقول إنهما يوم عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم أخرجه النسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة وهذا لفظه. And the authority of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the days that he would fast the most was Saturday and Sunday. And he would say, these are the 2 days that the disbelievers take as Eid, and I wish to be different to them. Collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and authenticated by Ibn Khuzaymah, and this is his wording. This hadith is weak. It is a weak narration. It is a weak hadith. And as is the practice of Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, after he mentions many authentic hadith, he always brings some weak hadith as well towards the end of the chapter to show that there is weak narrations concerning these issues as well, just so that the reader knows what's going on. So in this hadith, Salama is saying that the Prophet ﷺ would fast on Saturdays and Sundays. These are the days that he would normally fast. And this also is in contradiction to what we know, and that is that the Prophet ﷺ in the authentic hadith said that he liked to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, not Saturdays and Sundays, but Mondays and Thursdays. And when asked about this, he said, because these are the 2 days that the angels raise the actions to Allah. And I love that Allah should see my actions in a state of fasting. And so the Prophet ﷺ would fast on Mondays and Thursdays. That would be his normal routine. And so this hadith, it is weak, and it has been classified as weak by many of the scholars of hadith, and Allah knows best. The next hadith, وَعَنَ بِهُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَى عَنْ صَوْمِ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ بِعَرَفَةَ رَوَاهُ الْخَمْسَةَ غَيْرَ التِّرْمِذِي وَصَحَّهُ إِبْنُ خُزَيْمَ وَالْحَاكِمُ اسْتَنْكَرَهُ الْعُقَيْلِ. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, that the Prophet ﷺ forbade fasting the day of Arafah whilst in Arafah. And this is collected by the five except Tirmidhi and authenticated by Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim and others. This hadith, its actual chain of narration is also weak. So even though some of the scholars authenticated, it is actually a weak hadith, and it is weakened by Ibn Hajar himself and other scholars as well. However, the ruling is correct. Even though the hadith is weak, the ruling is correct. And we mentioned this in the previous hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ recommended that a person fast the day of Arafah. And that day of fasting on the day of Arafah is for the person who's not making Hajj. So for the normal people, for everyone that's not in Arafah, that's not making Hajj, it is recommended for them to fast that day, and to do so has a great reward. As the Prophet ﷺ said, it will expiate the sins of the year past and the year to come. However, for those people who are on the plain of Arafah, meaning they're making Hajj, then for them it is not allowed to fast. Why? Because their main priority on the day of Arafah is to ma'a and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is their main priority. And so they need to have their strength, they need to have their ability to stand in the sun, to raise their hands, to make dua, so that they don't become tired. And so the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't fast on the day of Arafah, but rather it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Arafah, he drank milk. And so he drank milk and then he went and he started to make dua. So he gave himself some strength and then he began to make dua. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that I made Hajj with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and none of them fasted on the day of Arafah. So therefore it is not allowed, and Allah knows best. The final hadith in this chapter. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صام من صام الأبد. متفق عليه. ولمسلم من حديث أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه بلفظ لا صام ولا أفطر. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said he has not fasted the one who fasts continuously. متفق عليه. And in the narration of Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Qatada radiallahu anh, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he has not fasted nor has he broken his fast, the one who fasts continuously. This is also hadith which the ruling of which we mentioned previously. And that is that one of the forbidden types of fasting is what is known as wisal, to continuously fast, to fast every single day without breaking that day. And that's also mentioned in another famous hadith of Abdullah of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, when he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to fast. I have the ability, the strength to fast. I want to fast a lot. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, it is sufficient for you to fast 3 days of every month, the Iyamul Bid. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I can do more than this. So the Prophet ﷺ said, fast Mondays and Thursdays. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I can do more than this. So the Prophet ﷺ said, fast one day and leave off one day. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I can do more than this. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is no more than this. Because this is the fast of Dawood and it is the best type of fasting. He would fast one day and then he would miss one day. And so therefore this hadith also shows that it's forbidden to make wisal, to continuously fast every single day on the trot without breaking it, unless it is the month of Ramadan. And this obviously refers to a month where you fast continuously for the whole month. However, if for example it's the 3 days Ayyamul Bid, then you fast them continuously. Or if it's the 6 days of Shawwal and someone wants to fast them continuously, that's okay. Or if it's an expiation and someone is fasting them continuously, this is an exception to the rule. But voluntary fasting, to fast continuously every single day, this is what is forbidden from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah knows best. So inshallah we'll conclude with that today, and tomorrow after Maghrib inshallah we will complete the rest of the chapter of fasting inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم